The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Now, we're delighted to have Paula Hawkins back on the programme with us. You have met her before. You do know Paula Hawkins because it's a very good chance, given that The Girl on the Train sold 23 million copies worldwide, that you're one of those many people in Ireland who have bought it. Or if you didn't, you'd have seen the terrific movie made in it with Emily Blunt as the star. Paula, thank you very much for taking the time to join us.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Tell us, please, a little bit about the new book, though. The Blue Hour is a mystery thriller, but it's very different, isn't it, to what you've done previously?
It is quite different. It's a thriller. It's set on a remote tidal island off the west coast of Scotland. And this island is a place where there's only one house, one inhabitant, only one way out. And it was once home to a famous artist, a woman called Vanessa Chapman. And when, after Vanessa's death, a rather shocking discovery, a rather grisly discovery is made about one of her sculptures, people come calling to this island and go looking for the secrets and possibly the bodies that might lie buried there.
But although it's a mystery thriller, the characters are very important to you, aren't they, in developing them to be really interesting in themselves, as well as the story of the mystery.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been very interested in character, and I tend to start with character when I'm writing a novel. So with this novel, it was the character of Vanessa, this artist who's this very single-minded, determined woman who takes herself off to this island to create work and to cut herself off from the world. And she forms this close friendship with a woman called Grace, who's also a very intriguing person, somebody who's had some rejections in her earlier life, and she struggles to form connections. So her relationship with Vanessa is very important to her. And yeah, I tend to dive into the characters a lot. They're, for me, what drives the story as much as the mystery plot.
And what did you know about creating art as distinct from writing fiction prior to doing this book?
Well, I read a lot. I'm not artistically inclined at all, but I am interested in art and in the lives of artists. And so I read a lot of books. I mean, there's a fantastic biography of Barbara Hepworth that was out a few years ago. I read a memoir of Celia Paul, the British painter. I read a lot around the subject about people like Lee Krasner and Georgia O'Keeffe, mostly female artists, and about their lives and the struggles that they faced, and about, you know, the physical toll it takes to make art sometimes, the strength that you need. And so all of those things went into the writing of the book.
When you say physical toll, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, it's one of the very stark differences between making work and making art, visual artistic work, and writing, is that You do need, in some senses, to be quite strong. I'm writing about a woman who paints landscapes on an island. She has to actually physically carry these canvases around. When she's making ceramics, you know, she has to wedge the clay. That takes strength. All of these things, you realize that it does take a certain level of fitness in order to make work like that.
And obviously then amount of imagination and diligence as well, because cutting yourself off perhaps from other people to dedicate your time to that work.
Yeah, so Vanessa makes this choice, and she decides that this is the way that she's going to make her mark. And she's working in the 90s. It's a time it's quite difficult for female artists to become known unless they're perhaps working in conceptual art. And she's a painter, as I've said. So she really feels that this is the way to do it. And, I think a lot of people would disagree, but she throws herself wholeheartedly into this. And I think without really realizing how isolating it's going to be and how being so untethered from the world might change the way she relates to people, might change her perceptions of them.
And tell us about the location you chose, a fictional island off the coast of Scotland. Why there?
Well, the inspiration from an island, for that kind of island, sorry, a tidal island, came from a holiday I'd been on in France, actually. But I transported it to the west coast of Scotland, which is a place that I really love. I have a home in Edinburgh now, and I spend quite a lot of time on the west coast, and I love that landscape. And it's a very inspirational landscape. You can imagine an artist being drawn to it. it's, you know, the sea is stormy, and in winter it gets dark in the middle of the afternoon. It's the kind of place that you can imagine terrible things happening, although it is also very beautiful. And the tidalness was important to me. I wanted it to be a place where you would, where you could be cut off. That's great for a crime plot, obviously, because it has sort of a locked room possibility. But it was also about imagining the kind of person who would choose to live somewhere where she would be completely cut off twice a day.
You grew up in Zimbabwe, so Zimbabwe to Scotland is quite a difference, certainly when it comes to climate. But what about when it comes to, is there a sense of that you've returned in adulthood to almost a remoteness that there might have been in Zimbabwe growing up?
Well, no, I mean, my childhood in Zimbabwe was quite suburban. I grew up in Harare, so it wasn't, it's very different to that.
I mean by remoteness, in that Harare was almost, in some respects, and I was there briefly in the 1990s, sort of, it was like a throwback to decades earlier in other countries. It seemed cut off from the rest of the world.
Yes, there was an element of that it always felt about 20 years behind everywhere else. I certainly felt that growing up, that culturally, well, and politically, certainly, it was fairly backward, it felt at that time. This is a different kind of remoteness, I suppose, that I'm writing about here. And it's a remoteness that I sort of crave now, that kind of peace of being away from a large city, being somewhere where you can walk by the sea. That kind of remoteness is something I actually crave now. But it's a very different, yes, it is a very different remoteness to what I had in childhood.
Why do you crave it?
Well, I feel more at peace in those kind of places. I love living in cities. I love the buzz that you get from that. All my friends live in cities. I like the social aspect of it. But every now and again, I just do crave the peace of it. And I feel it is... it's great for it is a great location to work. I do find that I'm inspired when I'm in remote locations where I can walk every day, in a place where you might not see other people for a while, and where you can really just immerse yourself in your thoughts and what you're plotting next.
And what are you plotting next? How often do you write now? Because I mean, you don't rush the books out, do you?
I don't. I'm somewhat slow. This is the way I work, I'm afraid. I don't seem to be able to sort of to produce a work a year. My books are always standalone books, so I do have to come up with a completely new characters and a new sort of world. And that always takes me a while. I have lots of ideas, but it takes me time to settle on the right one. And that's really important to me. So I'm thinking about something, but I haven't actually put pen to paper yet. I'm busy doing, obviously, the promotion now. But I've got a bunch of characters living in my head at the moment, and I'm just choosing, I was thinking about sort of how they relate to each other and where they might be living and those kind of things. And then hopefully I'll be able to start, I will start writing soon once my touring is over.
Is that a rare freedom for a writer to have, though, not to be under deadline pressure to keep producing books on behalf of the publishers, particularly given that you had so much success with The Girl on the Train, that you now can actually take your time to do what it is you want to do rather than work into a formula?
I mean, yeah, undoubtedly. My publishers have been very generous to me in terms of the time that I'm allowed for my novels. There is a deadline, but it's not every year. And I have missed deadlines in the past. And yes, there's no question that is in part due to the fact that I had that enormous success. So they've done quite well out of me in the first place. And that allows you a bit more leeway. And also, it doesn't mean that I don't need to, just from a purely financial point of view, I don't need to produce a book every single year, even though I'm sure they would love it if I did. And I would like, if I could write faster, I would. This is just seems to be the way the process works for me.
Of course, you were a financial journalist and you wrote a number of non-fiction books, guides to personal finance, in around the time of the crash, and then you wrote novels under a pseudonym. But that brings me to asking maybe a rude question, but are you good with money now, given that you were a personal finance journalist and now that you have made money out of books, are you good with it?
I mean, I'm not great. I mean, I was terrible with it when I was actually when I was actually working as a financial journalist, I was very much do as I say and not as I do. I ran up credit card debt and that kind of things. Obviously, if you have money, it's kind of easier to manage it, isn't it? You don't get yourself into trouble. I don't buy sports cars and yachts and racehorses and things. So I don't spend that much, to be honest.
Okay, but you still get great joy, do you, out of making up new stories such as this one, The Blue Hour?
This was such a joy to write this book. I loved writing this book. I loved being immersed in this world of this artistic world, and I loved spending time on my imaginary island.
And I think lots of people are going to love spending time with this book. Paula Hawkins, author of The Blue Hour, thank you so much for joining us on The Last Word today.
Thank you.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper, weekdays from 4:30. Today.